नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 6 कन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन नारद एंड व्यासदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 व्यास उवाच भिक्षुभिर्विप्रविष्टे विज्ञानादेष्टिभिस्तव वर्तमानो वयस्यादे तथा किम् अकरोत् भवान् व्यास उवाच भिक्षुभिर्विप्रवसिते विज्ञानादेष्टिभिस्तव वर्तमानो वयसि आद्ये ततः किम् अकरोत् भवान् व्यास उवाच श्रीव्यासस्य भिक्षुभि by the great mendicants vipra vasite having departed for other places vijnana scientific knowledge and transcendence adeshtribhi those who had instructed tava of your vartamanaha present vayasi of the duration of life Adiye, from the beginning of, Tataha, after that, Kim, what, Akarot, did, Bhavan, your good self. Translation by Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Vyasadeva said, what did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages? Who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth. Translation responsibly. Sri Vyasadeva said, what did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge? Before the beginning of your present birth. Purport. Vyasadeva himself was the disciple of Naradji, and therefore it was natural to be anxious to hear what Narad did after initiation from the spiritual masters. He wanted to follow in Narada's footsteps in order to attain to the same perfect stage of life. This desire to inquire from the spiritual master is an essential factor to the progressive path. This process is technically known as Sadharma Pritcha. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse we are hearing Shri Vyasadeva's inquiry from Narada Muni. And in the previous verse, actually the last verse of the fifth chapter, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are actually inquiring from Suta Goswami. And they're inquiring about the Almighty Lord's activities, which he has learned by his vast knowledge of the Vedas. No, sorry, that's actually Narada instructing Vyasadeva. So, in the sixth chapter, the first verse, so Suta Goswami is basically, you know, is describing to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, about the activities of Narada Muni, his birth and various activities. And here now Vyasadeva is beginning to inquire from Narada Muni. So he's basically, Vyasadeva is inquiring from Narada Muni what he did after the departure of the great sages. So in the previous chapter we heard that he was the son of a maid servant, and during the Chaturmasa period, it's traditionally all the sages, they don't move around because of the heavy, because of a lot of rainfall, so they just stay in one place and do intense sadhana or bhajan. So somehow he had the opportunity to serve them, and he also heard from them. So after 4 months, he heard sufficiently from them and served them, then they carried on, because sannyasis, they don't stick around in one place. They keep moving all the time, as we have also experienced. So they moved on, and they had basically initiated him. And they left with him all the instructions. So Vyasadeva is inquisitive, is inquiring how Narada Muni passed his life from that point onwards. So such a kind of inquiry is quite interesting, because Vyasadeva wants to know how his Guru Maharaj attained perfection. He wasn't very much interested in knowing what was his past before, or what were his previous lives. Because the past of a Vaishnava is actually not very important. So what's more important is how a devotee is living his life to attain perfection. So one should actually not, we should not try to find out about the past of devotees, because that's not actually very relevant. What is more relevant is how they are acting in Krishna's service and how that will inspire us. And as yesterday was being mentioned in class, we have so many biographies of Srila Prabhupada. There's the Leelamrita, Great Transcendental Adventure. In fact, we were distributing that in the marathon on the street. The Great Transcendental Adventure. There were so many of them lying in crossways. So then, Mujibunda Prabhu got an idea, let's distribute that book. It's very cheap. So then, we are distributing Great Transcendental Adventure. So people are actually hearing about Srila Prabhupada's life. And when they hear about the life of a Vaishnava, they actually get benefited. They get inspired. So when we read the Leelamrita, or there's so many other biographies by of Srila Prabhupada by senior devotees, it's actually very, very inspiring. And we learn how to apply the teachings of Krishna consciousness in our lives. And also, even the lives, it is recommended that one should also study the lives of the previous acharyas. So therefore, especially when it is an appearance day of some acharya, we can try to meditate on their activities. What was the life all about? So, but when we meditate on their activities and what they've done, that actually inspires us in our own bhakti. And also, basically, Vyasadeva is also inquiring how did Narada Muni apply those instructions in his life. So, the instructions were imparted by the sages, by the Bhaktivedantas, and now he's inquisitive to know how Narada Muni applied those instructions. So, there's one thing that we get the instructions, then the other thing is the application of those instructions. And if one is able to apply the instructions of one's spiritual master, that is very glorious. So Vyasadeva wanted to know how he applied the instructions and attained perfection. So though Vyasadeva is actually a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord, he's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he's all-knowing, he's perfect, but still he's showing that one should inquire from the spiritual master. And this process of inquiry, as technically described here, is known as Sadharma Pritcha, which we'll speak about a bit later. So this, we see this inquisitiveness is there in all living entities. So everyone is, people are inquisitive. In every, you take any species of life, there is inquisitiveness. So inquisitiveness means to inquire or to question. So we see that's taking place even in the birds. The birds in the morning, they wake up, they start chirping. So they you know, maybe the kid is asking the mother, you know, chirping, where are you going? And the mother's replying, I'm going to get some food. And in this way they are looking for food and they're taking rest, they're mating, they're defending. In this way inquiries are going on. So in any species of life, such kind of inquiries are going on. And even in the human form of life, we see everyone is inquiring. Everything is actually questions and answers. Whatever conversation is taking place between people, it is nothing but questions and answers. So this inquiry is constant. It has to be there. But the question is, what kind of inquiries? So people inquire about the sports, you know, what's happening in the cricket, in a, between India and Australia, who won the match, did Sachin score a century, or like this. So this inquiry is going on. What's going on in the AFL? What's going on in the news? What someone posted on Facebook? And people are inquisitive to know what their friends did on the weekend. How was their holiday? In this way, there are different kinds of inquiries. What's happening with the global financial crisis? Or what are the movie stars doing? So in this way, people are inquisitive to know different things. Especially people are attracted towards, sometimes if someone has done something wrong, people are inquisitive to know what that person has done. Like you see with the movie stars, if they are caught, then that becomes suddenly a big thing. And then everyone is inquisitive to know, you know, they fall down. So in this way we see that life is actually full of questions and answers. And such kind of questions and answers are more or less pretty much based on sense gratification. If we analyze the content of these questions and answers, they're pretty much based on sense gratification. And even that such mundane inquiries, they simply lead to frustration. Though people are inquiring so much in the universities, the students are inquiring from the professors, and the professors are trying to satisfy the inquiries, but still, even after all said and done, it only leads to frustration. And we see there are so many volumes and volumes of books filled, which are nothing but questions and answers. But still, if you look at the state of the world, people are actually not happy. They are dissatisfied. They are frustrated. Because their content, the type of questions and answers which are going on, they are not dealing with Krishna. And when one is simply inquiring into matter, then one's consciousness is filled up with matter. So one's mind becomes occupied with such kind of fruitive activities. And when the mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, that leads to further birth, further death. So that's the consequence of material inquiry. So people don't realize that inquiry has these consequences also. People are inquiring into, you know, what they're eating or the different kinds of restaurants. But simply the result of that inquiry is that the mind is absorbed in matter. And because of that absorption in matter, we have to accept a new body again and again. But it's mentioned that in the human form of life is especially meant for inquiry. But what kind of inquiry? So it says, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. That now that we have obtained the human form of life, we are meant to inquire. But we are meant to inquire into who we are. Where did we come from? Who is God? What is this creation? How did we end up here? And where are we going? And what is our relationship with God? So this is the primary inquiry meant for the human being. But because of the influence of the illusory energy and the way society is structured, such kind of inquiries are not encouraged. Or even if somebody inquires like this, they quickly get covered over by the illusory energy. Or even if people do inquire, they don't approach the right source for the answers. So sometimes people do have these inquiries, but then they approach the wrong source. And the way modern society is shaped, that we are taught that we can find the solution for these inquiries ourselves. So in other words, we are actually taught to speculate based on the little bit of information we have. Then we are encouraged to speculate and come up with our own speculative answers. So in this way, even if people do inquire, which is very rare, most people are actually consumed by consumerism and the modern culture. So there's no time for such inquiries, and this desire doesn't come about. But those who do inquire, they get misled by, you know, bogus yogis or by scientific knowledge. In this way, they're cheated. But the human form of life is actually meant for this kind of inquiry. And in fact, when one inquires, that is a sign of intelligence. That is a real sign of intelligence. We even see Sanatana Goswami. He inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Sanatana Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said that, you know, people are calling me a great learned pandit. You know, Sanatana Goswami could speak many languages, Persian, Sanskrit, maybe Arabic also. He could speak many languages and he was a scholar. He was born in a Brahmana family. And of course he was a devotee, but out of his humility he was saying, you know, people call me a great, great pandit, I'm so learned, but I don't even know who I am. And then he was inquiring from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? How come I'm suffering the threefold miseries? And how to get rid of them? So when one actually inquires like this, this is the beginning of intelligence. This is when we are actually using our true intelligence, what intelligence is actually meant for. Even in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we see in text 7 of the second chapter, as that was, Karpanya, how does it start? Dosha Pata Subhava. Karpanya Dosha Dosha. Pichami Swam Dharma Samudja Yetaha Yat Syan Nishchitan Bruhi Tanme Shishyat Teham Sadi Mam Twam Prapannam. So here also we see Arjun is inquiring into the cause of his despondency and is accepting Krishna as a spiritual master. So we see this inquiry, when a human being inquires, that's actually the beginning of human life. And unless people have such inquiries, they are more or less based on the animalistic platform. So it's just sophisticated animals, that's all. So though they're inquiring into so many subject matters, this propensity to inquire is actually is frustrated. It's a failure. And even we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see is actually full of inquiries. And like we see in the second chapter, in I think text number 10, Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Labo Labo Jivita Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Nartho Yas Cheha Karmati. That life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So, whatever field we are situated in, the ultimate purpose of all kind of inquiries is actually to inquire into the nature of the Absolute Truth, because that's what the human form is meant for. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but questions and answers. Even in fact, the very first chapter is entitled Questions by the Sages. And the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they asked Suta Goswami 6 questions. Does anyone remember those 6 questions? Yes, nothing. Yeah, what's the ultimate good for all people? Yeah. What's the essence of all scriptures? Yeah. 1, 2. Anything else? Other questions? Yeah. They wanted to know what are the activities of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Yeah. Any other question? What other questions are there? Yeah. They wanted to know about the Purushavatars and the process of creation. And what was the last question? Yes, so, and then the last question was, now that Shri Krishna has left for his own abode, where will the principles of religion reside and how will they be protected and how we can have access to them? So these were the 6 questions by the sages. And then from the second chapter onwards, Suta Goswami actually begins to answer these 6 questions. And then even we see towards in the 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam of the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit puts 2 questions to the assembly of sages who had gathered from all over the universe, because he had 7 days to live. So he put 2 questions, that what is the duty of a person who is about to die, and what is the duty of people in general in all circumstances. So he put these 2 questions to the sages, and then Shukdev Goswami was unanimously elected as the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then from the second canto, Shukdev Goswami began to give the answer to these questions, and that constitutes the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see even the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but questions and answers, and even the first verse of Bhagavad Gita is an inquiry. Dhritarashtra Vacha, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda Yuyutsava, Mamaka, Pandavas Chaiva, Kima Kurvata, Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra is inquiring from Sanjaya what's happening on the battlefield between his sons and the sons of Pandu. So that's also an inquiry. And then the rest of the Bhagavad Gita is Arjun puts forward inquiries, Krishna answers. And sometimes even Krishna inquires from Arjun. So in this way we see it's nothing but questions and answers. But the quality of such kinds of questions and answers is different, because these kinds of inquiries are related to the subject of transcendence. And because when our mind is fixed on transcendence, on Krishna, then we actually, this remembrance terminates the chain of karma, and therefore we get liberation. And also we see in the second chapter, Suta Goswami actually congratulates the sages. He says, Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavalpir loka mangalam yat kritha krishna samparashno yanatma suprasidati. So Suta Goswami says, O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So he is actually enlivened by such kinds of questions, because these questions are pertaining to Krishna and therefore they are of relevance to the world's welfare. So we see all the other kinds of inquiries which are happening, even in the UN General Assembly, it's nothing but questions and answers. They're inquiring how to improve the state of world affairs. But actually we see it doesn't. It has some effect, but on a permanent scale, there's not much welfare of the world. But if we simply inquire about Krishna on an individual and on a collective level, that actually has a potency of actually solving the world's problems. Because we are actually going to the root of all the problems. Srimad Bhagavatam goes to the root. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from the platform. These books actually are on the spiritual platform. They are not at all on the material platform. And because people are dealing with the material problems on a material level, therefore they are unable to come up with a proper solution. So the material problems have spiritual solutions, not material solutions. And actually such kind of questions and answers are capable of completely satisfying the self. So we see by simply attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we actually get satisfied. So like, I'm speaking, so I benefit from this, and you are hearing, so you benefit from this. So if we do this every day, then we, by such kind of inquiries and listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, our heart actually becomes satisfied. And that's very practical, we can see that. So if we attentively hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class, naturally we become very satisfied, and then we don't hanker and lament for other things. So the qualification of the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is that such a person should be a Bhagavat Pradhan. A Bhagavat Pradhan means one whose aim in life is to worship and serve Krishna. And the qualification of the audience has to be Shushrut Satam. In other words, the audience should not desire something material out of attending a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Like we see in India, they have the Bhagavad Saptas, which go on for 7 days. And they mainly discuss the 10th canto, the Rasa Leela, but sometimes they speak about other pastimes also. But the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's engaging in that activity to maintain his family, to make a living out of it. So that is actually condemned, because there's a strong material motivation behind it. And their life is not dedicated to serving Krishna and worshipping him. And the audience, the reason they go and hear, yeah, some nice stories we'll hear, you know, pious stuff, you know, it's, we go and hear some talk about Krishna, it's better than the movies, you know, we might be God. Or they're going to hear nice stories, or they're going to hear so that because they're hearing about God, they'll get some mundane piety out of it. In other words, dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So if the audience is not Shushrushatam, then actually such kind of assembly produces no benefit. It's actually a waste of time. And because after the Bhagavad Sapta, we see they are actually engaged in the same activities. There's no change of heart. But if there is a proper assembly where the speaker is bona fide and the audience is bona fide, there is a change of heart of the speaker and of the audience. Both actually advance spiritually. And we see Maharaj Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami, they exemplify that. And we see in Srimad Bhagavatam is simply inquiry into the highest subject matter. So Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't inquire, is not simply about inquiring to Brahman or Paramatma, but it is more specifically about the Bhagavan aspect of the Absolute Truth. So the Srimad Bhagavatam inquires more into the Bhagavan aspect and the process of devotional service, and also the glories of the Lord's devotees are described. And also we see the caliber of this, if we see the caliber of the sages who are also inquiring, and the caliber of the speaker like Shukdev Goswami. And here in this verse we see Vyasadev is inquiring from Narad Muni. So on a personal level we see this inquiry is, it is mentioned here that that this desire to inquire from the spiritual master is an essential factor to the progressive path. This process is technically known as Sadharma Pricha. So this inquiry is actually very, on the part of the disciple is actually very, very important to inquire from the spiritual master. So as we know from the Nectar of Devotion, it's mentioned in the 6th chapter, there's this verse from the Bhakti Sandhu, 1, verse 1, 2. text 74 to 75. Guru Padashraya, Guru Padashraya Tasmat, Krishna Dikshati Sikshanam, Vishnam Vena Guru Seva, Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam, Sadharma Pricha Bhogadi, Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. So, in the nectar devotion, the 10 basic principles of devotional service are mentioned. So the fifth one is actually inquiring from a spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So does anyone remember the previous four principles? Yes. Pretty much, yeah. So it's mentioned accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. As I said, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Then the third one is obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Then following in the footsteps of the great acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. And the fifth one, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we see this is one of the 10 basic principles of devotional service. So this one is actually very important, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's actually the duty of a disciple to be inquisitive. And even we see when someone is inquisitive, even like we see when we were in school, there were some students who were very inquisitive. That's actually a sign of intelligence. So if after a class you have many questions, that means that the audience was listening attentively and they were actually inquisitive. So this is actually very essential in our career of devotional service, to inquire how to progress in devotional service and how to go back to Godhead. This inquisitiveness is very, very important. And the main idea behind inquiring from the spiritual master is to find out how to please Krishna, because the goal of one's life is to always remember Krishna and never to forget him. And the goal of our life, as mentioned in the definition of pure devotional service, is actually to please Krishna, to render activities which are favorable. So one has to inquire from one's spiritual master how to render service to Krishna. In fact, even we see that the aim of Varnashram is simply to please the Lord, is to fix one's mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. So one has to inquire from the spiritual master how to please Krishna, because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. And whatever instruction the spiritual master gives, that's coming from the Lord. And when we inquire how to please Krishna, that actually enlivens one, enlivens the spiritual master. And we see here also how when Maharaj Parikshit, and we hear again and again Maharaj Parikshit, the various sages, they inquire from Shukdev Goswami or Suta Goswami, they actually become enlivened. They become enlivened because they get an opportunity to glorify Krishna, and glorifying Krishna means to remember Krishna. So we can inquire from our spiritual master that how we are in such and such political situation and how to, in that situation, render devotional service and be able to remember Krishna. So in fact, it's mentioned that if one is not inquisitive, one should not bother accepting a spiritual master, in some of the purports Srila Prabhupada mentions. So this inquiry is actually very, very important. And we see this, in fact, in any field, if one has to advance, they have to inquire. Even in school, we were actually encouraged to inquire. And one not only has to inquire, but one has to inquire in a submissive, the attitude should be submissive. It should not be in a challenging spirit. Otherwise, that inquiry is useless. Sometimes people inquire from devotees, but they inquire in a very arrogant or challenging spirit. And their aim is actually to defeat that person. They actually don't want to hear from him, they actually want to give their own opinion and defeat that person. If you are preaching time and time again, you will come across this. People will inquire with a very, very challenging spirit. So when we were in university or school, we also inquired from our teachers, but we did not, it's encouraged not to inquire arrogantly, otherwise, you know, you won't get the answer. So in spiritual life, not only does the inquiry have to be in a submissive mood, but also that inquiry has to be quoted with devotional service. So it has to be accompanied with service also. So tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So that prashna or question has to be accompanied with seva. So when there is service and submissiveness, then that inquiry is perfect. So at least in the material realm, at least submissiveness should be there. Maybe service might not be there. But in spiritual life, there has to be service with the spiritual master. And also there has to be, one has to be submissive. And before the spiritual master, one has to consider oneself a fool. If one thinks they know everything, then actually the one is unable to inquire. And we see how Sanatana Goswami, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he posed himself like a fool. So that should be the mood when one actually approaches one spiritual master. When we go for darshan, we should actually feel ourselves that we are a fool and we don't know anything. And we should inquire how we can, in such and such circumstance, we can apply the process of bhakti. And we see in our life we will come across so many impediments. There will be like so many kinds of deviations going on around us. There will be, we'll be faced with so many impediments. Then we actually have to inquire from the spiritual master how to progress in devotional service. So this inquiry is not only when we are a new devotee, but this inquiry has to go on throughout our devotional life, throughout our devotional career. So we also have to inquire into the negative aspects and the positive aspects of going back to Godhead. So, and we should be, and all of Srila Prabhupada gave us so many books, and all of his books are filled with his Bhaktivedanta purports. And we can read these purports, and each purport we can meditate on it for lifetime, or if not lifetimes. So we should actually be inquisitive to know how to apply these purports in our life. So when we go for darshan with our spiritual master, we can inquire if we have any doubts from the scripture, or if we something we haven't understood, we have philosophical questions, we can ask them. Or sometimes our spiritual masters might expect that such kind of philosophical inquiries be asked from other senior devotees or from our peers. Or when we go to see them, we actually inquire how do we apply the process of bhakti in this such and such circumstance. So, I'll stop here. Any questions? And even we see that because, yeah, one more point, that Krishna is the source of everything. So this propensity to inquire actually comes from Krishna. And even Krishna inquires. So Krishna also inquires into the welfare of his devotees. So such kind of inquiries are not mundane because they are on the platform of transcendence. So even on the platform of transcendence, we see Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was inquiring into the welfare of the citizens of Dwarka when Arjun came back from Dwarka. So we can also inquire into the welfare of devotees. So we also inquire not only about philosophical subject matters, but anything related to Krishna. So anything which is related to Krishna, that is actually of relevance. So we should not be eager to inquire into prajalpa. You know, such and such devotee did like this and like that. So we should not be very eager for such kind of inquiries. Because of our conditioned propensity, naturally we are very eager to inquire into such kind of subject matters. This, there has been such and such deviation, such and such devotee did like this, he or she acted like that, and then we are very eager to find out into more details. That is actually the subject matter for crows. So we have to inquire, you know, things related to Krishna in a positive way. And even Krishna inquires. Krishna would inquire from Uddhava, you know, how are the residents of Vrindavan doing? He will inquire into their welfare. Or sometimes the Supreme Lord will inquire from his devotees even about philosophical subject matters. Or sometimes Krishna will inquire from his devotees even about the Shastra, points from the Shastra. So we see this propensity to inquire actually comes from Krishna. So we have to dovetail that. Any questions? Yes,
Prabhu. Like, we don't really point to matter too much description in Narada. I want to ask you, when Narada was coming to Mahabhu, why you are holding a string in the mouth?
A straw?
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually a sign of humility. I don't know why a straw in the mouth, but what it means is someone if holds a straw in the mouth and approaches someone, that means they are actually very humbly begging or inquiring something. They're presenting themselves very humbly. Of course, we should not imitate that. Approach of the devotees with a straw in our mouth. it has to be genuine. It has to be, yeah.
As you said, Krishna is not Admini.
Yes, Krishna is. Yes, Prabhu. It's in the I think 17th or the reference is in a purport or Srila Prabhupada. Question is, what's the reference for Bhagavad Pradhan and Shushrutam? Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text Number 15. So this verse is basically, O Suta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord, because the personality of Godhead is the chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages. So in this, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes, you know, how to be anxious and what's the qualification of the audience and the speaker. And there in the, he mentions towards the end. Yes.
How can one already understand that higher degree is instructed in the world before he's present with us?
How can a non-devotee understand?
Understand that he's instructed in his knowledge.
Yeah, in his previous birth. They can't accept many things about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is far out. Because they don't accept reincarnation, so they say, how do I accept that? So first, we have to prove to them reincarnation. And as we were discussing last night, that maybe you can show them some clips. There are some documentaries made on evidence of past life memories. So maybe once you convince them of reincarnation, and if they accept reincarnation, then they can say, yeah, in the previous life, that's what happened. He was instructed. Anything else? Any inquiries? Okay. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srimad Prabhupada ki.